Hello, everyone, and we are back with another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, brought to you by Brian's Bane Domain. We were last talking about some excellent white wine from the northwest of Spain called Godello, but let's switch gears and cross the country to the southeast, to a region known as Murcia, or Murcia. This place may or may not sound familiar to you, but it's an old region, a former kingdom with a lot of history, and as you can well imagine, history in winemaking. After all, the Phoenicians colonized and traded here, as did the Carthaginians, and they were the ones who probably brought that wonderful world of winemaking to this land. Murcia is a dry land, a very dry land for the most part, one of the driest in all of Spain. The climate is quite mild in the winter, but very warm in the summer. But the climate can also change quite a bit. The coastal areas don't experience much of a change in terms of the temperature, but the hillier and mountainous parts can get very cold, surprisingly cold in the winter. So surprisingly, despite these conditions, agriculture is still one of the main motors of the economy here. The fruit and vegetables produced supply much of Spain and Europe, and it is sometimes known as the breadbasket of Europe. And wine grape growing is no exception. In fact, many of these vineyards are located in parts where it would seem that just about nothing else would be suitable for survival. It's one of those things that just make grapevines what they are. When we are talking about wine for Murcia, for the most part, we are talking about Monastrell, Monastrell, and more Monastrell, spelled Monastrell. That is the name of the grape variety. In English, it usually goes by its French name, Mourvèdre, though there are probably a lot of people who haven't even heard of that. This is a wine grape which probably came from Spain originally, which is why some of its best versions come from this area in Murcia, and it goes by the name that I was telling you about, Monastrell. In the New World, in places like the United States and Australia, countries producing also use the name Mataró or Mataro. That is the word that comes from Catalan, which is the language used in the northeastern part of Spain. Monastrell is Spain's fourth most important red wine grape variety in terms of extension. The total area has decreased over the last 30 years, but that can be said of most of Spain's vineyards as overall consumption has decreased. We've talked about that before. A lot more wine was produced and drunk 40 and 50 years ago, and that was because it was part of your basic meal for lunch and dinner. And it wasn't too fancy there, but there was a lot of it. But there was far too much wine produced, and that was detrimental to the sector as a whole. So they've been reducing the amount of vineyards that they have, reducing the amount of wine that they produce. But don't worry, there's still plenty of it, and the quality overall is a lot better. Anyway, the Monastrell vine is a sturdy plant, able to withstand massive amounts of sunlight. In fact, it's quite happy when it does. Intense summer heat, scarce rainfall, and seemingly unfertile soil. On the other hand, the elevated ground and the distance from the coast, which is where you find most of these vineyards, makes the climate almost more continental than Mediterranean. Temperatures drop quite a bit at night, and that will take some of the stress off of the plants and also make sure that the acidity is where it should be. The Monastrell grape has a couple of characteristics that make it what it is. The fruit itself is generally small, and the skin is pretty thick compared to others. That makes for darker, more tannic wine. The levels of alcohol are generally higher. The grape normally takes longer than usual to mature, so even though this is far south, a lot of the harvest will take place in October and sometimes November. Although with the changing climate that is affecting the world, a lot of harvesting is taking place earlier. Anyway, the ideal period for picking the grapes is relatively short, so winemakers have to be careful not to misjudge that, or it will affect the wine. Monastero can be used as a varietal, but it is often used for blending too, since it contributes color, depth, and tannins. Anyway, Murcia, as I was telling you, has a lot of it. There are three DOs, or wine regions, which generally specialize in Monastrell. These regions are called Jumilla, Yecla, and Bullas. Of the three, Jumilla is by far the biggest, most well-known, and most successful. Jumilla, the town is inland, and as I was telling you before, the vineyards are also inland, in what at first glance looks like an area you might see sort of a poncho wearing Clint Eastwood slowly steering a horse in the hills. But it's also a place where grapes are particularly happy. Now, Jumilla is an old region and it's been making wine for a very long time, like most of the regions in the eastern coast of Spain known as Levante. Traditionally, winemaking was a pretty simple business. You grew the grapes, you harvested them, you made tons of wine, and then you sold it, generally in bulk, to the locals and abroad, where it would be bottled. You rarely bottled the wine in the bodega. And that's how things were done, because it was a productive and uncomplicated system, and it brought home the bacon. But the price they paid, on the other hand, was the reputation, which wasn't very good. On a side note, the bulk wine business still sort of exists in these areas. There is an old wine shop a few blocks away from where I live, and they have lots of bottled wine. For the most part, it's bottled wine, but they do have a few huge tanks. They almost look like bombs behind the main counter. And one of the wines they sell to you is Jumilla, which goes by the liter. You bring in your bottle or your container, and they will fill it up and sell it to you by the liter. So that still happens. Things changed in the 1990s, thanks mainly to the efforts of a couple of wineries. One of the biggest names was Juan Gil, or the Juan Gil family, which had been in the winemaking business for 100 years. This was back in 1996, I believe. And since then, its growth has been exponential, and the group has also expanded into a dozen other regions from around Spain. Some of these are nearby in different parts of Murcia, maybe Alicante or Albacete, and then others are as far away as Galicia, where they make Albariño. Juan Gil as a Monastrell, especially its silver label, is one of the most recognizable wines from Jumilla. But there are others. They include Luzón, Casa de la Ermita, Casa Castillo, Alceño, and more. There are more than 40 wineries in the DO. There are a lot of Jumillas which go for a budget-friendly price, which makes them accessible for most of us, as their fame has grown and the elaboration has become more sophisticated. You can also find higher-end bottles. But these are easily the most visible Monastrells you will find in Spain and abroad, so check them out. Yecla is a much smaller region, about a fourth of the size of Jumilla, and it is located in the northern part of Murcia. It's basically to the northeast of Jumilla itself, right at the corner next to Alicante, and to the north another province called Albacete, which is in La Mancha. It also promotes Monastrell heavily, but it also blends it with other more well-known varieties like Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, I believe. Yecla also used to rely heavily on selling in bulk. I can verify this personally. When many years ago, I was visiting a winery and I saw outside a truck that looked like something you'd have, you know, for carrying gasoline, you know, those gas trucks that would transport fuel to the gas stations. And they were filling it with thousands of gallons of wine, you know, the big hose and everything. I'm not joking. There was nothing, no finesse about it. But in the past, that was sort of how these things were done. Anyway, as what happens with many small wine regions in Spain, there is usually one, maybe two large wineries that become the driving force behind making a DO. In Yecla's case, it's a winery called Castaño, by far the most recognizable name there. It has a wide range of wines of all prices and quality. Most of it's red, although they'll have some rosés and white wine. And many come for under 10 euros. I'd say it's wine called Ecula, H-E-C-U-L-A, is probably its most well-known wine. It's also organic, and it also has a very good sweet dessert wine, also made from Monastrell. Other wineries from that area include the cooperative known as La Purísima, and then you have another winery called Barahonda and others. Bullas is the largest of the three in terms of area, extension, but it's actually the smallest in actual output. It makes probably about a tenth of what Jumilla makes. Once again, Monastrell is the star in the form of red wine. Bullas also has a fairly decent reputation for rosés too. The only thing with this wine is that it isn't easy to find outside of, say, the Murcia and Valencia region. And even then, it can be tough, but you can sometimes see it. All the same, things are slowly moving in the right direction. It's been sort of quiet for many, many years, but I've noticed a few more wineries sort of getting their name out there. These include Lavia, Partal, and Las Reñas, which is probably one of the classics from that region. Anyway, give them a try when you get a chance. Now, many of the wineries from all three regions feature their organic wines, a popular marketing strategy. In this case, I would say that Murcia's favorable climate has made it easier for this classification. Classic diseases and plagues that affect other regions are not very strong here. And one thing that makes Monastrell stand out from other varieties is that it seems to be especially resistant to the famous phylloxera mite, and that little bug there, which destroyed or devastated most of Europe's vineyards during the late 19th century and early 20th century. And that means that many of the vines that you find here have never been grafted with American wine stocks. That's what they normally do here to protect it from the phylloxera. This isn't like that, and that makes the particularly cool aspect of this plant. So, what do you do in Murcia in addition to trying the wines? Well, Murcia capital, the main city, is a great place to check out. Got a nice old town, and the cathedral is very famous and pretty. Then you have another city called Cartagena, which was founded by the Carthaginians. Cartagena actually comes from the word Cartago Nova, or New Carthage. So it's a very old city. It's still an important port town. And then you have beaches like La Manga or Águilas, which are classic Mediterranean beaches. La Manga is probably a little bit more touristy there, but still you might want to check them out probably in June or September if you're not into running into masses of people. I would also recommend Cabo de Palos, a small fishing town where the restaurants serve excellent rice dishes. They aren't paellas, although I'm sure you could get one there, but the specialty is called arroz caldoso, caldo meaning broth, so they are moister, more liquidy rice dish. I'll say something like risotto just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, but just an idea, it's not the same. And then you have some lesser known towns like Jumilla itself, or Lorca, or Caravaca de la Cruz, which have a lot of history and heritage, well worth taking a look at them. And sticking to recreation, there are golf resorts peppered around the region for those of you who enjoy that activity. And then play the 19th hole with a nice glass of Monastrell. And that'll be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to send us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very, very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. We offer these for free, but we certainly appreciate any sponsoring that you can do. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud, as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.